Good morning. Today's Bible reading comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
Well, good morning, everyone. Awesome to be with you again, and it's a nice sort of wintry morning, but the fellowship's warm here, and that's wonderful, so great to be sharing with you again. So last week we looked at the story of the Good Samaritan, and it was all about Jesus, you know, being inclusive and about him being outward-focused, about actively caring and being responsive to the need of others. And so Jesus calls us as his disciples to be salt and light, to have a positive impact, to really make a change in the world. And so we looked at that and the whole spirituality of engagement. Now, immediately after that story of the Good Samaritan comes this story about Jesus being at the home of Mary and Martha. And so here we have the other side of the coin, which could be called a spirituality of reflection. So on one hand, you've got the outer journey of mission and active care. And then you see a spirituality which is kind of more about reflection and taking in God's word and prayer and meditation. And these two are complementary. Actually, they're mutually enriching and they work in harmony together. So it's a bit like breathing in and out. You know, if you keep breathing out and never breathe in, that's not going to end too well, is it? And likewise, if you keep breathing in and never breathe out, you know, try it sometime. It doesn't work. Don't try it here. We don't want to be, you know, sort of attending to people fainting or something. But as in the physical, so in the spiritual. You know, we're meant to be breathing in, breathing out. The journey inward of reflection, the journey outward in terms of engagement and mission, and they're both needed to keep us healthy and effective. And we see that dynamic, don't we, in the life of Jesus. You know, oftentimes he was fully engaged in ministry, he was out there preaching and teaching and healing, and he was intensely involved in ministry. He was swamped by the crowds, hardly had time to eat, so he was fully engaged with others. But then, as Luke tells us earlier on in his gospel here, he also often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He, in fact, spent whole nights in prayer. And so, you know, Jesus had this rhythm of the inward and outward journeys going on in his life. And I guess they reflect those two primary commands that we looked at last week about loving God, loving others, etc. So here we have this story. We're going to throw it up again. Notice as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Now, this wasn't just to Jesus. His disciples were with him. We learn from other passages that there were others who would follow Jesus around. He had quite an entourage. So this could have been quite a significant group of people, you know, maybe 30, 40, maybe even more. So it was a huge undertaking that she was doing here. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. So while Martha's there, you know, sort of slaving away in the kitchen in that pressure cooker environment, excuse the pun. So she's there, you know, sort of working away, slaving away, and there's Mary just sitting at Jesus' feet, listening. Now, what you need to understand, of course, is in those days, Jesus, you know, Jesus didn't write a book. There were no notes of his messages until some time later. You couldn't record what he said and download the podcast or anything like that. To hear what Jesus had to say, you had to be physically present as he spoke. And so those opportunities came few and far between. And so Mary was not going to lose and miss this incredible opportunity to hear Jesus. And so we need to understand that's where she's at. And you can pick up, not just from this passage, but from John chapter 11, when we have the raising of Lazarus, that Mary and Martha, even though they're sisters, they're quite different personalities. They have very different dispositions. Maybe Martha's love language was, acts of service, and Mary's was more, focused attention or whatever. But they're very different individuals. It's not that one loved Jesus more than the other. They just had different ways of maybe expressing it. So in this situation, we see that Martha was distracted by all of the preparations that had to be made. And so she came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Now, I don't know why Martha didn't go directly to Mary. Maybe Mary was in a crowd of people. It was difficult to get to her. Maybe she already had several times. And Mary just said, "No, in a minute, let. Maybe she was wanting to leverage Jesus and use his influence to impact her sister to make sure that she was going to do this. But for whatever reason, she comes to Jesus and basically out of frustration. You can sort of pick up the frustration and finally in exasperation she comes to Jesus and says, "Don't you care? Jesus, can't you see how unfair this situation is?" Do you remember another time when that same question was asked of Jesus? It was in the middle of a storm on the lake. And Jesus was incredibly asleep in the boat, and the disciples were panicked, and finally they come to Jesus and they say, "Jesus, don't you care that we're about to drown?" And it's very easy for us to project onto God our frustrations, our fears, our anxieties, all those kind of things. To project those onto God. So when we feel out of control, we blame the one who is in control, and we say, things like, "God, don't you care? Can't you see what's happening? Can't you see my predicament? Can't you see my problem? Can't you see my pain? Why aren't you doing something about it? Don't you care? It's so unfair." And blame is a bit of our go-to. Blame is a little bit like, our default position. We easily blame when we don't want to take personal responsibility, or we blame to offload our guilt, or we blame rather than trust, and, all those kind of things. So here is Martha coming to Jesus saying, "Don't you care? Tell Mary to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered. Yeah, Martha, Martha. Now, it's interesting. We read in the Gospels what Jesus says, but we often don't know how he says it. We don't kind of get the tone or the inflection. But it's interesting when you read Luke's Gospel, he often gives us little cues so we can pick up on the tone. And so when Jesus says, "Martha, Martha," okay, repeating her name shows you that Jesus is not upset or angry. Okay, he's not giving her a sharp rebuke, but rather he's giving her a caring and kind correction. "Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So busyness, isn't it, is one of our real challenges in life. And in our increasingly fast-paced sort of world where there's high expectations, we really struggle with this whole thing of busyness. You ask a lot of people, how are you going? And very typically, the answer they'll come back with is, I'm busy. Sometimes we kind of wear it like a badge of merit or honour. If I'm busy, then I must be achieving a lot. I must be accomplishing a whole lot of things. Or if I'm busy, then I must be important. I must be significant. We kind of have that sort of, positive view on it. But when we are constantly busy, invariably we will lose three things. And we see that in this passage. First of all, we'll lose our peace. Jesus says to Martha, he observes, you're worried and upset. So Martha had lost her peace. She had lost her sense of calm and her emotional and her spiritual equilibrium. So that's what happens when we get busy. We get agitated, we get stressed, we become irritable. Any setback or inconvenience becomes an agitation to us. It becomes a frustration, it becomes a major drama. We're in this heightened state of agitation when we're busy. I have a mentor, some of you would know him, Dr. Keith Farmer, and for many years he was a pastor in a local church, then became principal of the Church of Christ Bible College in New South Wales. And I know that for Keith, he often sort of talks to me about being centered. He talks to me about being in this place, living and operating out of this place of sort of peace and serenity in God. That's a real challenge for me. And it's one of his goals is to live out of this place of peace in God. Not out of anxiety, not out of fear, not out of being stressed or anything like that. Whenever he used to have the sense that he was losing this place of peace in God, this centeredness, he would just drop whatever he did. He would get out of the office and he would go for a walk. And he would walk for as long as it took for him to regain his composure and to have once again that sense of centeredness. And then he would go back and get on with what he was doing. Just kind of living out of a place of peace in our life. Remember when I was a lot younger, I had a man ask me, how are you going? And I fairly nonchalantly just said, not bad under the circumstances. And then he replied, and I'll never forget his reply. He said, what are you doing under there? That's true. Someone said, our circumstances are a bit like a mattress. If we're living under our circumstances, they can kind of suffocate you. But if you're on top of your circumstances, then you rest easy. And so when we get busy and we don't take time out to recenter, then we lose our peace. Not only do we lose our peace, we also lose our focus. Notice what Jesus continues on with. He says, Martha, you're upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. And that's what happens when we get busy and we don't take time out. We lose our focus on what's really important. Notice back in verse 40, Martha was distracted by all of the preparations. And that's what busyness does. It distracts us. We are, I think, in a very distracted culture these days. You see young people constantly distracted with their phones or electronic devices, and there's the news feeds and the apps and the games and the social media, and there are so many things that can distract us, things that ultimately are just kind of noise and stuff that ultimately don't really mean a lot, and we can get distracted. Now the parable of the sower, we'll put the verse up. Jesus says, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they don't mature. We just kind of get crowded out. We get cluttered. Our life becomes so cluttered with so many things that we become unproductive and unfruitful, and we don't mature as we should. It's such a, I think, a a challenge for us in our days, in this day. So we lose our peace, we also lose our focus, and then finally we lose our perspective. Notice that Jesus says, only one thing is ultimately needed. Reminds me of when Jesus is there on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, he talks about, how we can so easily become worried about so many things, and how the unbelievers, they worry about what they're going to eat and wear and all those kind of things. He says, but, seek first the kingdom of God. Let that be your primary focus, and then everything else will be added to you. Jesus says one thing is ultimately needed. And then he goes on, he says, Mary has chosen. Notice that Mary has chosen what is better. What is better. So often we allow the good to deprive us of the better or the best. And the many things that demand our time and attention, it's not like they're bad. Usually those things are good, they're worthwhile, even necessary. But they're not the things that are ultimately most important. Often our busyness is thrust upon us. Our busyness is thrust upon us by the demands of others or the demands of the situation. And sometimes there are all these expectations that pressure us. Expectations of our culture, expectations of our work environment, expectations of other people, expectations we place on ourselves. That we have to be successful in certain monetary or other ways. Our houses have to be at a certain state of cleanliness. We have to dress fashionably. We have to involve our kids in all the extracurricular activities. There's all of these standards and expectations that we so easily allow, to impact on us. And all of the shoulds and all of the oughts. And I'm sure that Mary, felt the pressure of the situation, felt the pressure of her sister's, state of being. She felt the pressure, but she chose. Mary chose. It was a choice of the better over just the good. And sometimes you have to say no to certain things in order that you choose what is better. Sometimes you have to say no to the good in order to be able to say yes to the better. And as we become less distracted and as we become more focused, so our choices can be better. We can more easily discern the important from the urgent and the central from the peripheral and the eternal from the temporal. And we can have that kind of perspective that informs and feeds into all of the other decisions about how we use our time and what we do and what we don't do. Some of you may have read one of C.S. Lewis's books called The Screwtape Letters. Written a while ago now, but most of the book is about this conversation between these two demons that have been assigned by their master to negatively impact on the life of their patient, the Christian, in terms of making sure that his life isn't very effective and to bring him down. And one of the major ploys that they seek to bring about to bring down the life of the Christian is busyness. And if you can just burden him with busyness, then you'll be successful in making his life less effective, less enjoyable, all those kind of things. So just, fill his life with infinite busyness. Use his self-worth in what he does as opposed to who he is. Just getting caught up in all of the clutter of life, and you'll be able to make him ineffective. Busyness is one of those things that can easily bring us down. So along with engagement that we talked about last week, along with the call of God on our lives to be, fully engaged and to be involved in caring for others and in responding to needs and in being involved in mission and love for others, There's the other side of it, where we need to take some time out on a regular basis to retreat and to refresh and to refocus. And we need to spend time with God in prayer, in praise, in meditating upon His Word, in just being in His presence. Otherwise, you know, our labor and all that we do can become very unfruitful. Think of the disciples. Remember one time Jesus calls out to them there in the boat and says, you know, have you caught anything? No, we've been toiling all night and caught nothing. And Jesus says, well, throw your net on the other side of the boat. And when they heard the voice of Jesus and were able to be directed by Him, their efforts all of a sudden became fruitful. And so it is in our lives. I read a book by Bill Hybels called Too Busy Not to Pray. I don't know whether you've read that book, but because Bill Hybels was so active and so much a go-getter and a go-doer, he said that if he rolled out of bed in the morning and his feet hit the floor first, he'd be just off and running into the day. And so he developed this practice of rolling out of bed, not onto his feet, but onto his knees. So the first thing he did was pray. And I thought, you know, that's a great idea. So why don't I do the same? So I, from that point on, developed a discipline where I didn't roll out of bed onto my knees, but when I have my lemon drink first thing in the morning, as I'm drinking my squeezed lemon juice and drinking it down, I do a daily declaration where I just simply declare, you know, who I am in God. I declare what this day is all about, and I ask God's help to live it in a way that will honor Him and bless others. And I just have this declaration that I express every morning, and I know I need that to help me to just kind of get focused and to realize what this day is all about, to just help me kind of remind myself what the day's about and what God is calling me to do and how to live that day. It's been so helpful for me. And look, for many years I was fairly obsessed and driven in my earlier years in ministry. In fact, I remember one time I sort of had this secret pride that I believed I was busier and worked longer hours than anyone else in my church. And I kind of took a secret pride in that. I remember one time I came home and sat down for the evening meal. We had this guest book where whenever we had a visitor, you know, they would write their names in it and everything like that. And when I sat down for my meal, Pam, my wife, put that in front of me. just to, in a very subtle way, saying, haven't seen much of you lately, you know, a visitor in my own house. But it was always, you know, it was always the work of the Lord, the work of the Lord, the work of the Lord. But what about the Lord of the work? And there came a point when I decided that I would set aside some regular time, you know, in a disciplined way, just to spend time with God. And it's something that I've maintained, not perfectly, but, you know, a half an hour a day, a half a day a week, a half a week a year, just to spend with God. And when I started to spend some time with God, things began to change. When I actually put aside some unhurried, focused time just to be with God. A lot of people used to say, you know, God told me this and God spoke to me about that. And I never had God speak to me. I thought, you know, well, what's all that about? But when I actually spent some quiet time in the presence of God, I actually found He started speaking to me. And I think He was trying to speak to me all along. It's just like even this room now, as you know, there's messages everywhere in this room. You know, radio messages and all sorts of messages. But unless we're willing to tune in, we'll never hear them. And I think unless we're willing to tune into God, we won't hear what He has to say to us. And then He began to work on me. He began to change some things about me that needed to be changed. And you know, when I actually gave him the opportunity, and so, you know, there was started to be some changes that needed to happen. But, you know, unless I was available to hear and allow the Spirit of God to work in my life, it just didn't happen. I started to be, rather than being driven, I started to be led. It was so helpful. Look, I'm not saying you have to do what I do. I'm just saying you need to find somewhere in your life where you can get aside with God and spend time with Him, so that you can be renewed, so that you can be refocused, so that you become centered again, so that you can, you know, regain your peace, regain your focus, regain your perspective, so that you can live in a way that is far more effective for God. There's the inner journey that needs to complement the outer journey. Let me just finish with a story about a priest who, you know, was in a country area, and in that area they used to have the church open 24/7, so that anyone at any time could come in and light a candle and pray or whatever they do. And he noticed that there was a particular farmer who would come in around about lunchtime every day. And he would just come into one of the back pews in the church. He'd spend about 45 minutes and then he'd walk out again. And this happened every day. He'd walk in, spend time just in one of the back pews and walk out. And it, you know, the priest's interest was piqued and he thought, what's going on? So one day he caught up with this guy and he said, look, would you mind just sort of telling me? I notice it every day you come in here, you spend some time, you walk out, and I don't know what that's all about. And the man said, you know what? He said, I just come and sit with God. And I smile at him, and he smiles at me, and we're happy together. And that's what it's about. Let's pray. Oh, Father, you are so more desirous of us meeting with you than we are. Lord, you love us more than we could begin to imagine. And there is so much, Lord, that you want to speak into our lives. There's so much that you want to do in terms of changing our hearts. There is so much, Lord, that you're seeking than we are seeking. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to put aside those times in our lives when we seek you out, when we share with you, where we allow you the opportunity to speak into us and to minister into our lives so that we can become more and more aligned, so that our hearts can become more in tune with your heart and our wills with your will. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.